How about Swag starting the show like before anybody was ready?
Perfect.
I had a feeling. I've actually been like
Rookie Fever, a show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
With I don't even know if we should start or not. Zero G. We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fadero.
It's never in a vacuum. Nothing is in a vacuum.
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 187. I am at Swagzilla Zero G. He is at FF underscore spaceman.
And like deuces.
Here, as always, with the feverish Fornero.
What up? Part two. We probably part have to talk two. About those quarterbacks now, I think.
Yeah, let's talk about some quarterbacks. Where do you want to go with this, Dave?
I think it starts with who are we thinking at the 102? Or is the 101 in play for anybody? Because I've heard that talked about. Is there a tier now at the top? I think that's kind of what I'm thinking is... What happens at 102 for you guys in Superflex?
If I am drafting on Monday with a 102, I am taking Justin Fields.
Bingo. There's no other answer for me.
I love that pick for Chicago. I love that they moved up to get him. Yep. They made the NFL look like a joke. I freaking hate that I have to have my Go Blue rival quarterback go to my Lions rival team to be their quarterback, and I'm just going to be stuck with Justin Fields in my division somehow against my Lions. But other than that, man, I love the pick for Justin Fields. I like the landing spot. Love it for Allen Robinson. Give me some Justin Fields all day.
I was seeing many to the Mooney tweets. People jumping on Mooney, getting a little bump from Fields being there. Now I love that you both feel that way, because I feel like the reaction, we talk about the gut reaction or emotional reaction to him going to Chicago was a negative. And I didn't feel that way for like half a second, like at all. I'm like, this, the quarterback failures in Chicago aren't necessarily Nagy. They're just two not good quarterbacks that were at the helm. I mean, Fields is a different guy. This is very, very exciting for Chicago. I know Chicago is through the roof happy about this pick, and they should be. I think the Giants were happy to move down. They got a nice amount of picks to go down nine spots. So I think it worked for both teams. And whew, Justin Fields in Detroit's division, I feel your pain.
And I mean, do you hate any of these landing spots for these quarterbacks? Quite honestly, I mean, still they have to prove themselves. But
I love these landing spot swags for every quarterback. Every single one just felt like they went to the right spot. Yep. Even Mac Jones came out and whispered to the commissioner, "Oh, this is the spot I really wanted. This is where I wanted to be." I mean, I feel like New England. We heard that they were going to move up to get Mac Jones. It got to sit still and have him just come to them. I mean, I feel like team and player, great matches across the board, where wide receivers were just shuffled, where everyone's rankings now are up in the air. We have no idea how we feel about these guys anymore. But quarterbacks, great landing spots for all five.
Yep.
I will just add from you guys. Now, I have not made up my mind if I want Trey Lance or Justin Fields. I will say that I actually have, and this, I think this, I'm not trying to be hot takey, but I have a top three in my first tier. That's how I am approaching. From a fantasy standpoint, I think any one of those quarterbacks could be the QB1 from this class, just because of the rushing upside of Fields and Lance. But then, I mean, not that Trevor Lawrence doesn't
Lawrence
as well,
has it too. Yep.
But I just think that that's just how it's shaping up for me. And I would love if I had any pick in the top three, or actually, I want to be in the top five of this draft any way I can, but. For specifically, if I need a quarterback, I'm loving being the top three.
So do we all agree? Go ahead, Swags.
With that mindset, hold your thought, because I bet you have something really good to ask. With that mindset, how much do I have to add on to my 103 to get your 102?
See, and this is where Swags and I differ a little bit. I tend to play the value game a little bit more than he does. So
you just told me they're all the same, Dave.
That's how I'm valuing, but the community, this is what I'm saying. The community values that. I don't think they're
because
all
of what
be the
we're
tier.
Teaching them today, though.
Don't be a part of the problem. They be part of the solution.
Well,
and,
I
and I get what you're saying. Don't get me wrong. I want to play like the market is the best I can in any trade I can. And if I'm giving any kind of advice in a DM or anything like that, absolutely. I get what you're saying. I'm not going to give you a second, Dave.
Okay, but to – oh, yeah. I'm not – yeah, I think I'd need a second to trade or else I would just take the player that I want. That's how I would approach it. Or a player that I have a target like that who would be considered worth the second round pick that I'm targeting. That's what I would need to do that pick at least.
Okay, so like, man, and I know this is more work, and I don't really advise like going into every move you make, and I don't want to give you more work, but like you take 304 and that 103, and then you take that 304 and you put it with your 208 and you move up to 206. It's more work, but you use that third to get somewhere up a little bit higher in the first, because like when I start to look at it that late from like, let's say, after like 201, there starts to be a startup separation of like 10 to 20 picks. So if we're talking like 204 to 207, that could be anywhere from like 20 to 50 players in a startup. And I've moved up that many spots in my rookie draft from having that extra 304 for a quarterback that you feel could be the same as Justin Fields.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. The way that I approach quarterbacks though, is that, especially my rookie drafts, if I'm taking a quarterback, I'm usually having to rebuild the position. Usually that's how I'm trying. I have to rebuild the position. And if I want to try to take the best quarterback I can, if I'm trying to rebuild the position. Usually.
See for me, like I don't want to make that move either, Dave, to be honest with you, but I like Justin Fields. I don't quite feel the same as you. I kind of have like Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields is the one that are sort of closer together, and then a small teardrop to Trey Lance and Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, those guys. And I'm happy with all of them. I mean, super flex teams if I can, but Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence are the ones I really want to add. The other ones I want at a value. I want to get those guys after you maybe take Pitts, Chase, or Harris. You know, I want the leftovers, picks 5, 6, 7, I guess, after Jefferson and or Fields and Harris, or can't talk, Fields and Lawrence. That's kind of my mindset there.
Yeah, and I mean Dave started out by saying he isn't even positive that Lance is above Fields for him. Like he's still debating that,
sure,
that
sure.
spot.
But
it's closer
equal.
For him than you. But it's closer for him than you. You actually have a teardrop there. I was gonna ask you guys if we all agree that Trey Lance, when he does start, has the best set of weapons out of the three teams. It's close. No, they're saying no. I mean,
Kittle, Debo, Ayuk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. It's tough to argue. It's a pretty nice weapons.
You have Allen Robinson, and then you have,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But Visca.
Yeah, it's going to be
ETN,
Visca.
That's James Robinson.
That's going to be the one that
you have to go to.
But I don't know. I'm not ready to put LaVisca there. People have been putting LaVisca there because Trevor Lawrence is going to be there. I haven't seen enough from LaVisca to say that LaVisca is Ayuk. Ayuk is heads and tails above LaVisca for me right now.
I'm doing the same thing with Debo that you're saying. That's how I also
okay.
Debo
fair
too.
Enough. Mm. Yeah, I'm higher
are
on Debo
than
most. Are
they close to you, before. Dave? Debo and Ayuk?
Yeah, they're close for me.
Yeah.
They're close.
Both over LaVisca, right?
Say that again?
Both over LaVisca, Chenault.
Who over Visca?
Sorry, Debo or Ayuk?
Oh, Ayuk over everybody.
And Debo, though? Do you guys feel the same about that? Debo or LaVisca Chenault?
I'm Debo myself.
I'm personally taking the value. This is when I'll say I'll take. I think people would take Debo, and I'm going to take whatever I can get in value between the two and go Visca.
Well, I guess Marvin Jones is over there now, too. We shouldn't.
Marvin Jones, too.
Yeah, I guess we shouldn't just not be talking about that. So I don't know. It's closer than I thought. I think the Marvin Jones pushes it closer now. Because
yeah.
LaVisca to me is, I don't know where I'm at with him yet. I think he's more upside I haven't seen than what I have. Where Debo, I think I just like a little bit more. And yeah, I don't know. I guess those two are close. So anyway, that was how I was going to split hairs with you guys. It's just kind of like, you know, who has the better team. But it looks like Jacksonville. I mean, the other thing you could also say is Jacksonville's defense is horrendous. So Trevor Lawrence is probably going to have to throw the ball a lot more than San Francisco is going to have to with that great defense. So
yeah, I've started to feel like maybe, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I don't agree, maybe I'm wrong about the consensus on this, but I'm starting to feel like people are going to put a little bit too much into the Chenault side because of the Trevor Lawrence boost that we knew we were going to get this entire time. Even right, kind of like I said it. With Harris, we assumed to the Steelers, but now that Lawrence is there, it has a different kind of allure to fantasy owners where they're just like, oh man, Chenault and Trevor Lawrence, even though they knew about it. And I right. feel like it's a good, I think you could attach something small to Chenault for a decent wide receiver upgrade, I guess is where I was going.
That's well said. That's really well said. And two, another part of that is that we've only seen 1 year of Visca, and I know there was injuries too for both, but Debo has been for 2 years. So people start to fade that. If he hasn't done it for you lately, that kind of feeling was, you can still have that hope, that one, that second year optimism for Visca too. That could be there for you too.
I do like all these players though. I don't want to give the listeners like too much of a strong idea and like totally get out on Chenault. I just think it'd be easy to find a wide receiver upgrade, or go see what you have to add to Chenault to get T. Higgins.
Speaking of a wide receiver upgrade, what do you guys think of the Jets draft? Starting off with Zach Wilson, getting an offensive lineman, and then maybe doing a little wide receiver help on the back end there.
Yeah, with the second pick of the second round, they took the sixth wide receiver of the draft with Elijah Moore.
Yeah, I think he's a great complement to Mims and that wide receiver core they have right there. And I think, I don't know, I'm starting to, I think we said it's towards the end of last season, I think the Gaseless offenses and the Gaseless team is something that we need to just start erasing our mind. Kind of like the Rams, Fisher. Remember when Fisher just destroyed Todd Gurley?
Well said.
And just that whole team. And then as soon as Fisher left, McVay came in, things turned around. I just think they're rebuilding this team right. And this draft, I mean, I feel like they're winning this draft. Zach Wilson isn't really a guy I loved coming in, but I'm not going to discount him for being on the Jets, though. You know what I mean? He's an instant starter. I do like his weapons. And I think he might be a lot cheaper than these other guys.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there's like a taint that goes to the Jets players as well. Yeah. How does this make you feel about Denzel Mims? Forgot about him.
No, no way. I love it. I said that Elijah Moore was a good compliment to Mims. That's the first thing I said.
Let's not forget about Corey Davis too. Corey Davis is there. I gotta tip my hat to Finero there. That he's put it to me. I have as a Patriots fan who's had the Jets in their division. You know, I have a serious like no respect for the Jets or as an organization, and they've earned a lot of that.
Yep.
But if you look at what they're building here and some of the picks they've made, that offensive line is getting better. Don't forget about Jameson Crowder too. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to like in that offense. There really is. And that makes me think of, it's not the same old stupid Jets that they're willing to put weapons around their quarterback. And also they picked a guard. They traded back up and got offensive line help. I love any team. You will never hear me complain when you pick an offensive lineman. I have never seen a team that has too many offensive linemen.
I'm kind of in awe. Like I'm just going to catch up to the draft really quick and we'll have to rewind a little bit. I don't know quite what to make of the Rams pick there of Tutu Atwell. And I'm glad I sold some Van Jefferson. I guess I'll lead with that.
Van Jefferson thing is fucking strange to me, man. Because mm-hmm. like there was a ton of buzz. Like, I guess whatever preseason we did get, there was a lot of buzz with Van Jefferson. Like, I wish I would have gotten out right during that buzz. It was the same exact time Bryan Edwards was getting all that buzz. Remember that?
Dude, I am so excited about Bryan Edwards, but hats off to the people that sold for a first last year, because that was a great move to make.
You're talking about during that hype period, right?
Yeah, yep, that you just mentioned, yep.
Oh my God, dude. He and Van Jefferson were the two guys in the entire class that everybody was talking about. And now here we go. We have Tutu Atwell, a second round pick, taking over. I don't know how he has any room to work over there. Like, didn't they just sign the other two guys?
Yeah, yeah.
Woods and Cooper? I mean, they were re-signed like a year ago.
Yep.
what it tells me is that they need someone to give room for Jefferson's not a field stretcher. He doesn't stretch the field. Does Robert Woods stretch the field? Not really. I don't think he's a field stretcher, and I don't think Cooper Kupp's a field stretcher. They need somebody to do a vertical threat on that offense. That's the only thing that I can think of why they're bringing him in there.
Yeah.
Slash a lot of NFL people. Off air, I was making fun of Daniel Jeremiah because Tutu hadn't gone yet, and that he was still in a lot of these NFL draft talkers top of their boards. So that's what they just thought it was good value too. That's wow
man, so disappointing, man. I can't read that.
Terrace Marshall.
That's what I was talking about too. I'll timestamp this here for you fellas.
It's been a flurry. We're in a flurry right now.
We have a flurry.
So yeah, Tutu Atwell was the 9th wide receiver taken in the draft. So many wide receivers gone, man. And then Marshall goes the 10th wide receiver off the board. No wide receiver is going to be left for Detroit in the 3rd round. This rookie fever, these guys are just looking at swags getting triggered.
That's the biggest, honestly, with how Detroit's played this, I think that would have been a perfect chance to go and trade up. After you see Tutu off the board, I think you've got to trade up and get. I think there's a tier break here at wide receiver.
Yeah. Well, I think there already was. Like, I'm surprised by even the pick. Who took? I'll pull this back up.
It was Seahawks took the Dwayne old Eskridge. Wide receiver. Yeah.
From Western pick. Michigan University.
The old wide receiver, Dave says.
I would rather have David Moore than Dwayne Eskridge on my team.
Mm.
David Moore is a better wide receiver than Dwayne Eskridge.
I think the Panthers got a hell of a deal there, quite honestly.
Oh, I agree 100%. Do you like the spot for Marshall?
Do I like the spot for Marshall?
Yeah.
How can I answer this honestly?
Yeah, do it honestly.
I like it more than Marshall over Bateman.
All right, now lie to me.
Marshall over Bateman.
That's funny because he said now lie to me.
I don't hate this spot, man. I wonder how he's going to fit in with Robbie Anderson there. DJ Moore obviously gives Marshall some time. I think that this is the best wide receiver taken since, I know Dave hates this, so we got to get to it anyway, but I think it's the best wide receiver taken since Rondell Moore. I like him more than Tutu or Dwayne Eskridge. I think that I'll say that, you know, so Panthers got a hell of a deal. I like Dave's take. Like, what the hell's Detroit doing? I mean, they've got those 2 3rd round picks. They probably could have moved up here. I don't know, man. Jesus.
I'm looking up.
Are we seriously going to have to buy Quentin Cephas?
No.
That's stupid.
I'm looking up Robbie Anderson's contract. I'm just curious. Like,
no.
I don't think he was signed for more than a couple years. Yeah. What? So he's a unrestricted free agent next year. So there you go.
What that does provide, though, that provides a red zone threat for Sam Darnold. Yep, like DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, they're not necessarily like go up and get him in the end zone type guys. I think.
Yeah, I love it for them. He's young.
And you think about it, you pair that with Christian McCaffrey. You're giving and what you put in to get Sam Darnold, what you put in to get invest in him. There's no reason why if Sam Darnold with these weapons flops, you can't go first round QB next year.
Let's talk rookie drafts, gentlemen. Where am I able to get with this landing spot, which seems a little crowded at the moment? Where would I get it? What wide receiver did he go? What is he? 11, 7, 9, 10? 10?
Wide receiver 10.
What wide receiver what in rookie drafts for you?
For me? Get him?
Yeah, well, where do you think you can get him?
Wide receiver 6 to 8?
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's got to be, I mean, it depends. Was that mid-second?
Yeah, probably.
I would love to get Marshall mid-second. He was going in any mock I had. He was going early second in Superflex.
And I mean, man, I might go a little bit earlier. I don't think that people aren't going to put him over Devonta Smith.
No.
We teased it a little bit on the first episode where we touched more on round one. Dave, how you feeling about Rondell Moore?
Well, this, because I was actually listening to Superflexology or to your show, Swags.
Super flexible.
Sorry, I always get confused. There's a lot of
you're fine.
But you were doing your pre-draft moves, and Christian Kirk came up. I'm I still had some post hype Christian Kirk in my portfolio. Mm-hmm. I've never used that word before.
Your arsenal, yeah, your portfolio. Yeah.
So that's actually hurts me more with Christian Kirk than AJ Green. AJ Green, he's what he is at this point. But that's what, and because if you really think about it, Rondale Moore, kind of, that's what Christian Kirk was billed to be, a yak guy. And to draft a guy of the new regime, who I don't think they took. Yeah, Christian Kirk was a carryover for Cliff Kingsbury, and then to go Rondale Moore here, and think about what you can do with that dynamism with Kyler Murray. Whew. And then you've got DeAndre Hopkins, you've got Chase Edmonds, you've got some James Conner who can be kind of the kind of hammerish at the goal line. That what that offense can do, and then what that just does for Kyler Murray overall too, because people. Yeah, I'm excited for the entire Arizona offense, but for what it does for Rondale Moore, for me, it stamps him. I am taking him wherever I can in the first. He's still in the locked in the first round for me. He does not fall in my rankings.
What if I told you Christian Kirk is a free agent next year?
It tells me that I have to wait another year for Christian Kirk to be valuable. That's so. That's what it does.
Yeah,
that makes me like Rondale Moore a little more.
Me too. I don't mind that landing spot so much. I think that they got a great deal on a wide receiver there. I would have loved to have seen Detroit take him. I told you that, guys, that minutes before we got on the show, I put it in our chat, like Rondale Moore right here, and then nope.
What did they get? As a guard, I think, right? An offensive lineman or no?
I think we went defense,
didn't we? Oh, okay. I have to look. Us fantasy gamers just lump them all together, don't we? Was that O-line or D-line? Oh, or whatever.
Yeah, defensive line.
What do you guys think about Javonte Williams to Denver? That was interesting.
I like it a lot for Denver. I do, man. Like, I think that that's a great landing spot for him. They've got everything figured out there but a quarterback. Like, whatever quarterback they end up is walking into a great situation. I don't care if it's Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock, the dream spot for Aaron Rodgers. I like it a lot.
I think Osweiler comes out of retirement. I like that, too.
And they traded up to get him. So they traded up to get Williams. So then, they liked him.
Yep.
He's what was that? What was that pick overall? Do you have that? Anybody have that handy?
203.
Yeah.
Wow. So 35.
Yeah. Is there any chance that Javonte Williams jumps ETN in rookie drafts now?
Yes.
He would for me. Yeah. But I mean, I saw people with ETN over Harris still after landing spots.
After landing spots.
Yes.
I know before landing spots. I'm honestly trying to decide if I like ETN as a third. In other words, like if I have the 103 and I'm getting ETN, like in it. No, I'm sorry. I'm talking to you guys about a one quarterback lead when everyone plays super flex. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, is that value for an ETN now? Because the perceived spot is not as good as we had hoped. He's not a Jet. He's, you know what I mean? He's not given the reins. Is that a same situation for Javonte Williams in Denver, or we just don't care about Gordon?
What's the question, so I understand?
Well, I mean, does Javonte Williams share the backfield?
Oh, he could for a little bit with Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's his last year of his deal, Melvin Gordon, so that's really attractive. Yeah, I think that's the big thing is that
he's not going up against Robinson, who's a rookie. He could be there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives – I actually kind of like that from a Denver's point of view too, is because, okay, if they've only got Gordon for one more year, they see how Williams does in that role. If he excels and takes that job over, great. You don't have to worry about investing capital – not or more capital, but then if you feel like Williams doesn't have that reach that upside for Denver, you can always go and add – replace Gordon and have some kind of timeshare moving forward. So actually that's a really smart move for Denver overall.
So I'm assuming Etienne was both of your number twos, and now he's moved to both of your number threes, right? No, not for Dave.
I think you could say that for me. I was kind of
I might be there. I don't know.
Kind of had him close.
Yeah, they were close.
I like Williams' landing spot more a lot because of just Melvin Gordon, that contract, that situation. That team is freaking loaded, honestly. And I'm still just not super excited about the running back class. I don't know. Yeah, so.
Well, we're starting to move out of as the second round progresses, we have not seen any of those non-first three running backs go yet. So that's kind of a big time. There was Miami was right on afterwards. That was some you could have thought some Kenny Gainwell there. There was a lot of there was a couple landing spots in that second round, and they didn't go those.
If the Chiefs take a running back here, we're pulling an all nighter.
We're going live. We're going on StreamYard. We're going to troll the hell out of every single CH truther.
Dude, they wouldn't even have that kind of overreaction, though. Like, it wouldn't be the same as what they did to James Robinson. Well, I know the draft capital is different, but I'm just saying, like, they wouldn't even do that. Like, it would be flip-flop scenario. So, how do you guys feel about Pat Freiermuth to the Steelers? Pick 23rd pick of the second round.
I loved it. I think that's a great move. That's just another that's another weapon in that offense. And you got your aging quarterback, and you've just another touchdown target who can patrol the middle of the field. Phenomenal selection.
Wanted somebody there to take away from Chase Claypool, didn't you?
Yeah. Hey, there you go. There you go, you Chase Claypool.
It's funny. Everything that Dave said is true, but yet everything he said is why I didn't love the spot. All the other targets, all the other options, the aging quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, I actually don't really love this spot. And Ebron is still there. I don't love this spot. Like, I really don't. I would have loved for him to go to, like, the Jaguars.
Go throw some offers out for Ebron if you need a tight end.
Like, that's a spot. I don't know if I don't love this spot. Now, granted, that's today. And with tight ends, it's never about today.
Are you going to put him in your garden? 3 years
from now. You know this is a primary target for my garden was Pat Freiermuth. I think he still is, but I think Brevin Jordan was close enough where Brevin Jordan was to go to the Jaguars. There's a switch for me now.
Or if he lands in the right spot.
Buffalo? A spot I perceive is better. Yeah, Buffalo's another one. Yep.
I also
Kansas City actually made that offensive line better for CEH instead. Look at
no
that.
No excuses left for CEH. None. None.
How many, Dave?
None.
Just making sure.
And I have so many.
And you would definitely take Chase over Pitts or Pitts over Chase?
Well, I got to carry the two, put it in the database, spit it out. And
unless Waddle's available.
Right, unless Waddle's available.
Yeah, true.
Unless if your number three wide receiver is available, you'll take him.
And you got to play the value game too.
No, we're confusing all of our listeners. They're like, what? Oh. Chase over all the wide receivers. Pitts probably over all the wide receivers.
It's the definition of an inside joke, confusing listeners.
Go back and listen to our last episode
in slow motion.
186.
Slow motion. Round two. Tampa Bay Bucks are on the clock. I think after this pick, we just kind of wrap it up, and then we've got a nice. What do you call it we're going to do next week? Recap. We're going to recap
the draft,
tell them how we feel. We'll absorb some of this a little bit. I'm going to edit this show. We're going to do some of that stuff and get back with you guys.
Some of those things, yes.
Before Tampa picks here, what we did not address was another non-offensive weapon for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. That they did not, right? They're just like really doubling down.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not making it comfy over there.
Well, they don't need to. Like when they get like Cortland Sutton back in the trade with Drew Lock, they won't really need those offensive weapons, will they? Melvin Gordon, welcome to Green Bay.
You're just trying to hurt AJ Dillon truthers at that point.
Oh, I know, right? No mention of Aaron Jones.
I want one more offensive player for Tampa Bay here. Just give us one more name.
Dyami Brown's still available. I think he's probably one of the best wide receivers. Seth Williams is still available. There's still some interesting players that are on the board.
Mr. Patriots, who starts week one, Cam Newton or Mac Jones? Is Cam Newton even on the damn team week one?
Yes.
I think so, yes. I think Cam Newton goes into camp as a de facto, and then his shoulder is going to have to answer the questions. That's how I'm going to play it. If Cam Newton can just show any of that pre-COVID Cam, Mac Jones will not play a snap will not start a game this year.
What will Cam Newton's shoulder say to Mac Jones?
Don't drink and drive.
Get out the way.
I'm going to say Mac Jones can beat him out in camp, Dave. Maybe even Stidham.
I like Cam Newton, so I'm a Cam Newton believer.
I like who Cam Newton was as a football player, the big body guy, you know, but with that shoulder injury, for never really being a throwing quarterback, I don't know, man. He's taken a beating over the years, and I think it's showing, like you see on a running back. It's showing on Cam Newton.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it was fun watching Cam Newton, what he brought to the NFL. So I'm not like saying just like, oh, screw Cam Newton, but for real, we saw it last year, and I know he's coming off injury, surgery in the COVID year, but man, I don't know, man. Patriots took a quarterback in the first round. Yeah. When have you said that, Dave?
I honestly still have that Arkansas feel, that quarterback they got from Arkansas that everyone was, I forget, like years ago. Tall kid. I forget his name now. That's the same feel I have as a Patriots fan.
Not too excited.
No, I'm probably in the minority as well, because I was heartbroken that Justin Fields went to the Bears.
Dude, sitting there and watching Mac Jones go instead of you guys drafting Justin Fields, I can't imagine that part of it. Yeah, I would have been frustrated if the Patriots got Justin Fields. I don't know why.
I really thought it was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, it should have happened.
And as soon as you saw Chicago's name go off the clock, you knew what Chicago was doing. Like when you saw the graphic pop up, Chicago trades up.
Oh, yeah. Everybody knew.
Finero, who is going to the Bucks here?
I don't think it's a wide receiver. I think this is not going to be sexy. We're waiting, and it's going to not be sexy.
Maybe I think I they're trading Tylan it. Wallace Maybe they're trading
available.
It.
Yep, Tylan Wallace is available.
He's available.
They signed Antonio Brown. I mean, they definitely could. I mean, Antonio Brown's a one-year deal. They can afford to draft a wide receiver here, and Wallace is your key choice.
Maybe Detroit will trade into this pick and take a wide receiver.
It's gonna be an offensive lineman you never heard of.
If they go QB or something, just to
David Mills,
that would be some serious super flex value there. You know, that would get people get excited about that as the Brady replacement.
I brought up that scenario.
They really would too, Dave.
I brought up that scenario in our prediction episode, and Swags wasn't biting on it.
No, man.
Not impressed. He was not impressed by that prediction.
I'm just telling you guys, I am like endorphin overload. I am just so excited about everything about the draft right now. And this is unbelievable.
Are you saying that you have rookie fever, Dave?
Fever. I'm trying to think if there's a thing above fever. I've got like, yeah, baby.
Dave, if you keep it up, I'm hitting the outro at the end of the show again. But this time we're just going right into episode 3.
Oh yeah,
I'm feeling it.
He's got the energy. He was on his Peloton doing Disney stuff.
Crushed it. I had a 20% increase in my personal best.
What was that exercise called again?
Disney workout. It was a Disney 30-minute impact ride or low impact ride.
Finero, why do you like Kadarius Toney?
Impact drive. Why do I like Kadarius Toney?
They did it.
Nah.
Kyle Trask.
Kyle Trask to the Buccaneers.
Sorry, I didn't mean to,
wow.
to interrupt.
No, you're fine. Talk. You're fine. That's what we've been waiting for.
Yeah, that is our next quarterback. And you got me out of talking about Kadarius Toney.
You feel so saved by the bell. We're gonna get this on next week's episode, guys. So how do we feel about Kyle Trask?
I was saying that he wasn't gonna be the sixth quarterback drafted, so I'm a little surprised. But I get it. I do get it.
You guys taking him as the early as a late second round, or are you waiting until the third round of Superflex drafts?
Third for sure in Superflex.
Yeah, I mean, he would have to. I'm curious how it's going to look once we start doing these rookie drafts. But I mean, today for me to imagine taking him, yeah, I feel like it'd have to be like late second, third round. I feel like it'd have to have Tom Brady rostered in order to really dip into that.
I like that move.
Maybe the producer should cut in Swag's analysis of Tom Brady, like one injury and he's done. You know, like that was
We'll talk to him. Sometimes he can do some cool shit.
Yeah, can you get our Voxer producer on here?
Voxer pod coming up.
We have interns now, Rookie Nation. We have interns. That's true. Get an intern.
They're all me. Well, this was a fun fun second episode.
Yeah, good reaction times with you two.
Absolutely, man.
We'll have more of an organized format perhaps for the entire draft, but we got a chance to talk about these top guys. Third round coming up. That's a big round. We still got some good names.
Yep, absolutely, man. It'll be exciting. Some good stuff to talk about still.
Oh, plenty of stuff to talk about.
Guys, I have to say, I've had a smile on my face this entire two episodes. This is what we want of Rookie Fever. This is it. They're not prospects anymore, guys. We're not playing Devi anymore. They are officially rookies.
I'm with you, Dave. This has been a lot of fun. I'm glad that we have Bateman to go back and forth about for a minute.
How about that Rondell Moore landing spot?
I like it.
I'm cursed.
Guys, do, if you want, go back, check out some of the Rookie Fever player profiles. They'll still hold a lot of weight after of these landing spots. You can get how some of the best analysts, some of the best Devi heads in the community feels about a lot of these rookies, and we'll be keeping up on it as well. And thanks for sticking with us today. We know the second episode, or however you're listening to these, got a little bit like, I don't know, we hit some dead spots waiting for this during the draft, but wouldn't want to do it with anybody else than Rookie Nation. Rookie Fever Nation, you guys, I'm Swagzilla0G. This is our outro music.
Yeah, that's it.
He is at Artmark TV. The other beautiful face is at FF_Spaceman.
Was that three Fs?
Was it?
Yeah.
They're uppercase or lowercase, I can't remember.
It was fucking fish sticks, dude.
And I got cake the cake pops. Pop question. I got the cake pop question, which was a fish stick question.
That's such an easy question. Cake pops?
If I come to Michigan, will you make me cake pops?
Yeah, dude.
Seriously?
Yeah. I might maybe bring them to the expo?
Yeah, dude. Bring them to the expo.
I was expecting his kids waiting at the driveway with the cake pops.